Morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. If you want to turn somewhere a while, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I was struggling with what to share today, and I was thinking about sharing what I'm going to share, and then I was thinking about changing it last night, and this morning, I believe the devil confirmed that I'm really supposed to be sharing this. I gave myself enough, I plow parking lots for three churches, so I was going to go plow parking lots, and have like an hour to finish and maybe rewrite my notes, go over the message. And it was like 5:30, I was out plowing, and the alternator died on my truck. So at 5:30 in the dark, I was feverishly out there trying to swap an alternator from my Expedition to my pickup truck. And the hood didn't want to stay open, and it was dark, so I'm in there trying to wrench one-handed, and then the hood kept falling down on my head. And it really did feel like a spiritual attack. It may have been. So praise the Lord. My brothers and sisters in Cain can worship. Their parking lots are open. And I am here almost on time. I was like half a verse late, I think. Anyways, any of you children want to guess what this elegant drawing is? Yes. A train. Yes. All right. Elegant is not the right word, but it's a locomotive. Cow catcher on the front. This spring, we had a chance to go to Maryland. I found a cheap snow plow down there, so our family took a trip to Maryland. We visited Chincoteague, and then we stayed overnight and picked this snow plow up on our way home. And while we were there, we found this railroad museum, so we went toured through some cars and railroad stuff, and I picked up this book called Firing on the Pennsy. It's about a guy who, in the 40s, was on like the last coal-fired steam locomotive. He was the fireman who shoveled the coal. And the Pennsylvania Railroad was the last railroad to use these coal-fired engines because guess what? They shipped coal, right? So, like, sort of a little kickback to the people who gave them work, like, hey, you know, we'll haul your coal, we'll keep using your coal, you know. And just something I was, you know, different things, a lot of different things sort of piqued my interest. And so I bought this book, and I'm reading his thoughts, and he writes down interesting things that happened. Like, one time, apparently these engines had scoops on the bottom where they would go over a trough of water while they were moving, and they could take on water without stopping. There were specific places in the tracks where they could actually do this. And one cold January day, they took on some water, but there was a hobo sitting on the baffles in the tank. And so this hobo comes dripping wet, climbing down off their locomotive while they're still moving. Poor guy got a bath, right? It was kind of interesting. And they actually let him inside the locomotive to get warm, which was against protocol, but they had pity on the poor fellow. I don't know. A bunch of interesting stuff. But one thing he said sort of stuck out to me. He said they would go past a siding, and there was a retired locomotive sitting there, and to him, it just looked lifeless. He said, when the fire is boiling and the steam is at pressure and that locomotive is chugging down the track, he's like, it's almost like it's alive. But he said, that one on the siding looks lifeless. It looks dead. And I'm like, it's a machine. Like, yeah, it's dead. But I was thinking about that, like, my spiritual life feels like that locomotive on the siding sometime. It feels dead. It feels lifeless. Like, it shouldn't, You know, this is my favorite passage of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 3. And it talks about God doing exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And that's not the verse I was thinking of. The verse I want is, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So when I think of spiritual life, I think of abundant life. I think of alive and well. I think of a locomotive chugging down the tracks at full steam. Everything is clicking. But sometimes I feel like that retired locomotive. I feel lifeless. And there's other times in my spiritual life I just feel tired. And I feel tired because I'm gonna call this the John Henry mentality. Does anyone know who John Henry was? He's like American folk legend. All right, John Henry worked on the railroad and he drove spikes, and the railroad progressed and they came to the Big Bend Mountain in Virginia and they had to drill through. And so they would chisel a hole, throw dynamite in the hole, and blast it out, get the rock out, go in, chisel another hole, and John Henry ran the hammers. Well, one day a salesman came down the tracks with a steam drill, and John Henry saw this steam drill. The salesman said that this steam drill can beat 10 men chiseling. And John Henry challenged him to a duel, basically. The steam drill against man. Now, man actually was a little more efficient because one guy held the chisel and one guy swung the hammer. And every time he would swing, the guy holding the chisel would turn the chisel a little bit and he would get a better bite. The steam drill couldn't quite do that. Anyways, in the legend, John Henry picks up two 20-pound hammers and he starts chiseling against the steam drill and he wins. Right? John Henry drove 14 feet. And the steam drill only made 9. But unfortunately, when John Henry is done, he died. Like the strain, some people think it was possibly a stroke, because he was actually a real person. Like whether my facts are true, like nobody knows for sure. But, right, he gave all he had, but he died. And so, in my spiritual life, like I'm working really hard, like trying to overcome temptation, and then, like, I'm exhausted, all right? And I end up, you know, John Henry was physically fit, and he exceptionally strong, and I can, on my own, try to be spiritually fit and spiritually strong, but eventually I'm going to become exhausted. And I might even die, and I might even be dead, like that locomotive on the siding. So, it doesn't work to do it on my own. The truth is that I'm human. I think the psalmist talks about being a worm. You know, I can't save myself. I need a savior. I can't face temptation by myself. You know, the devil has been around tempting people for a very long time. And if I have this notion that I can face temptations on my own, who am I kidding, right? I need help to face these temptations. So when I believe the lie that I can do it on my own, the only person that believes it is me. And the reason that I fall all the time is because I'm not connected to the vine. I'm not connected to the power source. I need a power, but that power has to be bigger in me than me. Just like that locomotive on the siding, it needs power. It needs a fire in the firebox to get the steam rolling. You know, wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus walking beside us? You know, and temptation comes and he could give us a little advice, or, you know, you could bounce ideas off of him, or, you know, just have Jesus just to help you through. You know, wouldn't it be comforting if we could have Jesus beside us all the time? Well, Jesus said he had to go away so he could send us some comfort, so he could send us the Comforter. And we can have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to face trials and temptations and to help us gain victory. We can have this. So, do you remember when I read through Ephesians and I talked about the Spirit and I used the glove? Do you remember this? Like during COVID, talk about Christ being inside of us and we don't have strength. Like we are like the glove and we don't have strength unless Christ. Right? Maybe some of you didn't wake up in time that morning during COVID. Maybe I need to preach it again. And I told Reen this morning that I was going back to Ephesians. She's like, "You're not going to read that all again, are you?" She said, "I said, no, I'm not going to read it all again." All right, but Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, all right? So I was reading through this, and I was actually in the middle of my message reading through this, and I got to verse 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Right? And we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about it working through us. But what is, like this question, like, I'm in the middle of a message, and I just kept reading because I wasn't going to try to say I didn't know what I was reading. But like this last part, "according to the power that worketh in us." And it was sort of haunting me. Like, what is that? How does that really work? You know, we know that Jesus comes and lives inside of us, and we know that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, and we know it's supposed to come from Him, but like, according to the power that worketh in us, like, how does it work? And if you think about a steam engine, where does the power come from? I'm going to open up. Where does the power come from in a steam locomotive? Steam. But where does the steam come from? So you need heat, right? You need heat to make steam. So for the sake of my analogy this morning, we're going to say that it takes fire to power a locomotive. Is that fair? The power of a locomotive comes from the fire. In our Christian lives, the power is the Spirit that lives inside of us. And fire is a flame, and the Holy Spirit descended and acts like a flame. So I think we have a pretty good comparison here. As a matter of fact, sorry, I did not get to rewrite my notes. Deuteronomy 4:24 and Hebrews 12:29 both say that our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. So I think we have a comparable analogy. Just for sake of the analogy, how powerful is a steam engine? All right, this Q2 steam engine weighed 1,041,000 pounds. It's just the engine. Had tractive force of 115,000 pounds, including booster engine steam pressure of 300 psi. Drive wheels 69 inches. Listen to this. Coal capacity is 37.5 tons. So it could hold 2 semi loads of coal. And 19,000 gallons of water. A total length of 124 feet 7 inches. I wanted to actually get a picture of this, and I wasn't able to. I didn't have time. I think 124 feet. Zeke, how long's your truck? He's not here. He just walked out. So a trailer's like 40 feet, and the truck's another 20. So that's like 60. So it's like two semis long with the trailer. Right? This is a big engine. The cool part was how much coal it took to actually power this. So you have this engine, and it's got some power. An engine pulling a 10,000-ton train could go 5.4 miles on a ton of coal. 5.4 miles on 1 ton of coal, pulling a 10,000-ton train. One lump of coal, the size of your fist, could pull enough, produce enough steam to pull 26 tons 1 mile. All right? So, like, a lump the size of your fist could take more than a semi-load of something over a mile. And then they had these super heaters that they made the steam hotter. The hotter steam contained less moisture, so the boiler doesn't have to heat as much water to get the steam it uses. This saves coal and water. And it's just amazing. Like, you think of a locomotive, and I think of, like, this ancient thing, you know, back in the cowboy days, like inefficient, but best that we had. These things were just as efficient as diesel engines, and he talks about in the 40s coming from Ohio into Pittsburgh and having to run it really hot so they could basically glide through Pittsburgh and have no smoke, right? They were worried about the environment in Pittsburgh in the 40s, apparently. But this engine has power. The God that we serve has power, and it's available to us if we ask Him. So, how powerful is the Holy Spirit? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. All right, verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. All right, isn't this sort of like an oxymoron? That you would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Like, how are we going to understand that? So we're supposed to know something that we can't know. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'm going to try to explain to this how we can know what's supposed to be unknown at the end of the message. So, if I forget, somebody raise their hand and I will explain it. So, in our Christian lives, if we have this fire burning inside of us, just like a locomotive, we can experience power. Our God is a consuming fire, and fire is a force to be reckoned with. I thought about bringing a little hibachi grill or something in here this morning and starting a fire. How many would you trust me to start a fire in here? A couple people. Other people are like, nah, you'd probably bring lighter too. or lighter fluid, right? Every engine needs an engineer and a fireman. And the engineer pretty much calls the shots. And the fireman, he does the work. And then there's the fire. And the fire produces the power. But the fire can't do it without the fireman. And the fireman can't do it without instructions from the engineer. In our spiritual lives, I would like to liken the engineer to our Heavenly Father. And I would liken the fireman, and I know the analogy isn't complete, but the fireman to Jesus, because the fireman does the work. And Jesus did the work when He died on the cross for our sins. But the fire that produces the power and is the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit teaches us, the Holy Spirit leads us, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit is proof that we are Christians. And when you see that smoke rolling out of the top of that locomotive, that is proof that there is fire there. So I made an acrostic for fire. And I said, fire is a force that is to be reckoned with. Wow. Now I need the eraser. Never remember if I turn this thing on or not. I think it's on. The other evening we went away and we had a fire burning. And no, we had a fire burning on Thursday, actually. And we went away Friday afternoon. And we came back Friday night and we smelled smoke. And here I had a railroad tie that was too close to the fire and had started burning on the end. And the wind was blowing just right, and that railroad tie just kept burning. And Reen called me. It was dark outside, and I wasn't home. And she's like, there's a fire burning in the yard. And she's like, I don't want to go to bed because, like, that's scary, right? Because you don't know what a fire is going to do. It's kind of, fire can, like, be really nice if it's contained, and fire can be really dangerous if it's not. Now, God is a consuming fire. Is God dangerous?
No.
No, God is not dangerous. But if you don't know Jesus, is God dangerous? Yes, God is dangerous. God is a consuming fire. Fire is a force to be reckoned with. So, for F, I have a feeling of warmth. Feeling, I think I need an A. Feeling of warmth. And comfort. You see, we need to understand our engineer. We need to understand the God that we are serving. The more we understand the engineer, the more we will understand the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Start at verse 6. Excuse me. Start at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. But now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." And then he goes into, "I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." We need to be connected to the vine, right? We know that. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. But just like a locomotive going down the track, that locomotive has to allow that engine to call that engineer to call the shots. And he's got to allow the fireman to build that fire. And the more he trusts the engineer, and the more he trusts the fireman, the bigger that fire can get. And that train can become productive. And that train can pull thousands of pounds of freight. But, you know, just like maybe some of you were kind of scared to have me build a fire in here, because what would happen, right? You know, if we don't know the Father, if we're not connected to the vine, if we don't have a relationship, we're going to say, well, God, I don't want you going there. And instead of a big roaring fire that makes our spiritual lives click, we just have a small fire. And we're just tuddling down the track, and there's a little smoke coming out, and we look like Christians, but we're really struggling. We're struggling to be efficient, if you will. You see, The closer we get to the engineer, the more efficient we will run. And so we need a feeling of warmth and comfort, because I'm going with fire, right? Right? We need to know that when our relationship with God is right, we can trust Him. We have a God that we can trust. And so when we come close to the fire and it's warm and it's contained, we can trust Him because we're in the right situation. But it's up to us. If we decide we want to be disobedient, all of a sudden God becomes a consuming fire. So we need a relationship with the engineer. I'm going to write God because we don't get confused. Relationship with God. Right? This feeling of warmth and comfort. And we need to pursue that. It's up to us to pursue a relationship with the engineer. And when we have a relationship with the engineer, then we can allow Him to build the fire. I is for ignite, right? Because we're going with fire. Ignite. Ignite me to fulfill my calling. Calling of every locomotive is to go down the tracks. Some locomotives move freight, some locomotives work in mines, some locomotives pull people, passenger cars. Need an eye on that. Every locomotive has a different job. And if we read on in Ephesians, we would find every believer has a different job. But if I understand who I am through Jesus, who God sees me, how God sees me, once I'm right with that relationship, then I can fully allow my firebox to be filled to capacity, and I can full steam ahead, serve God in whatever capacity He has given me. But if I don't have that relationship, it limits me on what I can do to fulfill my calling. So I was reading this book. I found it interesting. When this guy's name is Paul. When Paul and his engineer would go on like day runs where they got paid by the hour and they would be back home in the evening, like they turned the engine down a little bit and they would take their time because you'd get more overtime if the train went slower. But if they were going overnight and they got paid by the run, they turned that baby up and they made time so they could hang out in the evening when they got wherever they were going. Right? I don't know about you, but in my spiritual life, I want to make some time. But I ain't going to make it on my own, or I'll end up like John Henry and I'll end up like that locomotive on the siding over there that's dead. I need a relationship with Jesus. I need a thirst and a love and a hunger for who God is to come to His Word and just drink it in and then go out and serve Him to the fullest of my potential. Fire resists the dark. Dark and the cold. I can only imagine how cold and wet a locomotive is that's been sitting out in a field for a really long time. Right? You go in there, you're surrounded by steel, right, in the middle of winter or whatever, and it just cold. But if you light a fire in that firebox and you get her up to steam, it will drive away the darkness that is in there. It will drive away the cold that is in there. When we have a relationship with God and we let the Holy Spirit speak truth, because we read in John 14 that He will guide you into all truth. When you let the Holy Spirit speak truth into your life, He will drive away darkness. He will drive away the cold. He will drive the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the temptation, and the doubt. It will have to leave because you are up to steam, because that firebox is filled to the brink and there is no room for any darkness. Now, we do get a little bit, I don't know what the word is, a little bit scared when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because so much emphasis has been put on the Holy Spirit sometimes that we forget about the engineer, or we forget about the fireman. But all three are needed to make the locomotive run. And neither one can work without the other one. And God's Word is like the firebox. The Holy Spirit will never tell us anything that is different than this Word. And so we can know that it's a safe fire if it's in the firebox. If it's saying something that's out of the firebox, you got a problem. You better stop the train and get some help. But as long as the Holy Spirit is saying, as long as what the Holy Spirit is saying coincides with the Word of God, you have a safe fire. So, we need a relationship with the engineer. The fire allows us to fulfill our calling in life. It helps us resist the dark and the cold. And E is energizes and empowers. Right, this is the power part. A fire is the power of the locomotive. The fire energizes and empowers me. The Holy Spirit energizes and empowers me to stand strong. It empowers me to live my spiritual life to its fullest potential. As a believer, it gives me power to face temptation and trials. Not only my own, but the trials of my brothers and sisters. As we live in victory, because we have this power, we are going to be victorious. Our locomotive is going to be efficiently doing what it's designed to do. And spiritually, we are going to be living as victorious believers. And so as we live in this victory, and we have the energy to share this fire with people who don't have fire, to share this fire with a cold, dark world, we then complete our task as the engine delivers its freight to wherever it goes and shares what it has with the world. As believers, if our fire is burning to the fullest potential, and if we are living victoriously as God designed us to live, if we have a relationship with the engineer, and if we are fulfilling our calling, we are resisting the dark, we have energy and potential to share what we have with the rest of the world. So, if we go back to Ephesians, told you I would tell you how we can know something that passes knowledge. Now, the word know there is The word know there is head knowledge. Okay? The word is head knowledge. But the other word knowledge is something that only comes from, like, I don't know if it actually is experience, but it's like something that can only be experienced. So I can explain, I could try to explain the relationship me and my wife have, right? Like, and you would know a little bit. Okay, Kyle says he loves his wife and they hang out and they go out for dinner and whatever. And you would know a little bit about that, right? But if you got married yourself and you experienced that, then you would, like, know it in a deeper way. Does that make sense? And so the only way that we're going to understand this love that is ununderstandable, apparently, is if we experience it. All right? And we can experience it, and we still might not even be able to explain it, but it's there. And if that fire is burning in our firebox, and we have a love for Jesus and a love for our Heavenly Father, people are going to look on, and they'll be like, I do not know what happened to you, but you are a different person. And it's not until you experience what it is like to fully surrender to God and allow Him to drive your engine full steam down the tracks, totally trusting that He's in control, that we can explain that power. Because it's not explainable. It is something that we can't know, but we can experience it. Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, like John Henry, we need to admit that we are not all that. We cannot do it on our own. We need to let the engineer light that fire in our firebox or we are helpless. And then, when the world says, you're just a weak person, and God tends to take our weaknesses and use them in an exponential way. And then the world looks on, and who do they see? Do they see Kyle? No, they don't see Kyle. They see a glorious God who is working in my life, and hopefully they want some of that fire. They want to drive that darkness out of their life as well. So what do we need to do? We need to get close to the fire. We need to get close to the Father. We need to understand and know who He is. Understand and know who we are as His sons and daughters. I can't generate my own power. I need a source. And if I can't feel the warmth of the Father, I need to get closer. I need to get in His Word and understand who He thinks I am. And I need to know who God thinks I am. And so if we all have these tiny little fires, okay? We're saved, and we all just have these tiny little fires in our fireboxes, but no one really knows if we're locomotives because we never do anything, because we never have enough power to do anything. I think that's where we get the verse, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If my fire is that small, I can't even take it to someone who has no fire or without it going out. How will I share what Jesus has given me with the rest of the world? I need a fire in my firebox that is big enough to power me through my spiritual life. In closing, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is my prayer for us this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 16. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being an all-sufficient, all-knowing God. Thank you for sending us this Comforter. And Lord, I just pray that as we grow closer to you in our spiritual lives, Lord, that you would just pour out your Comforter into our hearts, that you would guide and lead us, that you would fill us with your power to overcome temptation, that you would fill us with love for those around us who don't know you, for your honor and your glory in your kingdom forever. Amen. As I was thinking about this message and walking in here, we were singing How I Praise Thee in 429. And the last, so I must have walked in on the whole verse, right? You said, the last stanza of it says, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Right? And I was like, wow, that is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about power flowing through us so God can use us. But then verse 2 says, emptied that thou shouldest fill me. If I'm filled with my own desires, God can't fill me with his. And I had to think about this Thomas story that we have where Thomas goes off the tracks and he's in the meadow with the cows. Like, God doesn't fill us with power to be our own person. God fills us with power if we empty ourselves and do his will. Thou who bought us to possess me. If we are God's locomotive, if we are totally surrendered to him. And then the next verse, next song Zeke led was, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And then we sang 407, I need thee every hour. Because we need the engineer, don't we? We need him. Without God, we are nothing. Anyways, thank you for your time, for your attention. Thank you for those songs, Zeke. Thought they went very well with the message. God bless you this week as you seek a relationship with our Heavenly Father, the best engineer there is.